Ow.
Welcome, brothers, to the September 2022 edition of Friday with Friday. It's great to see everybody here. Some familiar faces, some new faces, which is wonderful to see. As the initialism indicates, I'm Dave Friday, initiated Beta Yoda chapter 2002. And as of yesterday, I am now once again governor of Province 2. I would encourage everybody that's in the Zoom meeting tonight, go ahead and click on the participants tab and the chat tab to make sure that those are open for the duration of the meeting. While we're going through the presentation, if you would like to ask questions or contribute things in the chat, please feel free to do so. I will try to act as an intermediary between me and our presenter, Brother Ponder, as we're going tonight. Additionally, when you have the participants tab open, you can also change your name. Please feel free to put your preferred name, your initiating chapter, initiation year, what role you serve in the fraternity, and pronouns. Just a couple of recommendations. Obviously, feel free to put whatever you'd like to identify yourself during the meeting. So with all of those things in mind, I am now going to go to a quick introduction. Brothers, please allow me to introduce Brother Tristan Ponder. Brother Ponder was initiated into the Lambda Phi chapter at Mississippi State University in April of 2017. That, of course, makes us both alumni of a version of MSU, Michigan State. During his time as a collegiate member, he served the Lambda Phi chapter as both treasurer as well as president, and served Province 24 in the role of ACPR. He graduated from Michigan State. I'm sorry, I put MSU in the introduction and my brain just did its thing. He graduated from Mississippi State University with a bachelor's degree in business administration in 2019. Since then, he has gone on to become a certified marketing professional by the Association of National Advertisers. It is this passion for marketing that has allowed him a specific look at the way chapters advertise for themselves and the motivation for today's talk. The title of his talk is Recruitment, a Never-Ending Cycle, Understanding How to Be Involved Authentically. Brothers, please help me to welcome Brother Tristan Ponder.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me here. And I do appreciate your time this evening, especially the Friday of Labor Day weekend. I do appreciate your time today. So today, as Dave mentioned, we are going to be discussing recruitment, especially given the fact that we've just started the school year. For those that are active collegiate students, teachers, what have you, congratulations on surviving the summer and welcome to another school year that you get to endeavor. I am not in school anymore, so I've just been working Monday to Friday and just enjoying the outside world, so to speak. You can go to the next slide. So today, as of course, we're going to be discussing the recruitment cycle and its functionalities, assessing a little bit of the components about the cycle a little bit more in detail, connecting the recruitment cycle to the fraternity, a little bit of a bonus topic that's sort of my specialization, and then some final thoughts and a bit of a Q&A. But of course, the purpose of this is to share some tips and tricks, showcase some innovative approaches to sparking interest, and create ways to maintain desire for people to engage with you in the brand, whether it's the fraternity directly, let's say you have a side interest, or let's say you're wanting to create your own content. These are some tips that you can really adapt to anything that you're doing, everything that you're doing. And really, at the end of the day, recruitment is just marketing, which is just psychology. So some of these things can really just be used in everyday life. Next slide. And then, of course, these are some things that Dave shared about me.
I stole all of your information from this slide.
It's fine. It's no worries. But yeah, this is just a little bit more about me in detail. But the first section we're going to be going into, you can go ahead and go into it, is the recruitment cycle. So the recruitment cycle, next slide for us, is when it comes to the recruitment cycle, there are five stages for the recruitment cycle. And as you can see, I've sort of mapped out a little bit of a visual loop as to how it's a never-ending cycle. The reason that it's a never-ending cycle is because if you're wanting somebody to, let's say the fraternity, for example, if you're wanting somebody to stay on board throughout the entire collegiate experience, you have to keep them aware of the fact that, hey, this is something of value for you in the long run. If they don't see value, that's where you can have that fall off. So that's why it's important to recognize that recruitment is a never-ending loop, because just because they cross and just because somebody becomes initiated doesn't mean they have to stay on board, and we'll get to that a little bit later. There are many layers within each of these phases of the cycle. And just to keep in mind, not everybody goes through each phase of the cycle. Some people, let's say you're very loyal, brand loyal people in the Brotherhood, in business terms, you're advocates for your brand. Those people sometimes skip awareness and consideration because they're very familiar with you and they're just a die-hard fan of yours. But some people, your wishy-washy people, in marketing terms, we call some people defactors, people who don't really want to be associated with you or having negative experiences. They're the ones that are going to be going through each phase just to assess to make sure that you're top of mind for them and actually bringing value to their everyday life. And the first stage we're going to be talking about is pre-awareness. And you can go ahead and go to the next slide for us. So pre-awareness, this is the most overlooked phase of the cycle. These are people who are unaware that they have a problem, a need, also unaware that you exist. So they're unaware of the fact of something that you can provide to them. The goals of this phase really just to understand the people around you, understand this is a great opportunity to get to know your target audience before you actually get to interact with your target audience. Deconstruct problems that they might have, deconstruct why they may be functioning a certain way and how you can position yourself to fit in seamlessly. Identify who you want to interact with and assess how you can address the needs that they may be having. Let's say, for example, you come across a group of people who are really hanging out, but and have been discussing some networking opportunities. Some of them may be music majors, some of them may not be music majors, but they don't really know how to network. And we as a Brotherhood, we're a network at the end of the day. So that's a great way that you can really start integrating the Brotherhood into talks without you really having to sort of force it. You just really start using observational research to assess what people are looking for nowadays. And so during that research, you can really start tailoring how you're going to make people aware of you. And that's the first phase really of the recruitment cycle. The reason why pre-awareness is a zero phase is because it's something that you don't necessarily have to be doing constantly, but it's something that you can sit down and do every now and then. Let's say you're about to start doing, as my chapter would say, the heavy part of recruitment during in the beginning of the semester. That's when we would start sitting down and really assessing what people are and how people are acting before we really started interacting with people and started making people more aware of who we are. Go ahead and go to the next slide for me. So this is the first true phase of the recruitment cycle, and this is awareness. This is where you can people are actually going to start getting familiar with you, coming across your image, coming across your story. And the second they come across you and hear your brand, your name, what you do, come across any familiarity with you, they're going to start positioning you in their mind and start bowing you and ranking you in terms of priority, needs, wants, desires, things of that nature. So it's really important to understand how the unique value that you provide can be positioned into their mind and get them to naturally understand that, hey, we exist. This is what they're bringing. This is the value they can be delivering to me. But during the awareness phase, most people leave because it's just not interested at this time. Later on, we're going to be discussing branding and whatnot, but we'll have this fact listed out later. But it takes at least 7 times for people to really sort of get quote unquote bought in on your message. And that's a traditional fact. Nowadays with digital marketing, social media, TikTok, things of that nature, it probably takes even more time for people to become not only acquainted with you, but familiar with you, for them to get bought into you and what you can bring to them. So the goal of this phase is to really achieve that top of mind status for that for your target audience with what you're looking to achieve in their mind and what they're looking to gain from you. Next slide for me. So the second phase of the recruitment cycle is consideration. This is when people are meticulously checking in to see how you align with their goals and motivations, how you can uplift them while they are uplifting you at the same time. So the two main aspects of consideration that people are going to be going through are interest, wanting to learn, know and learn more about you. This is when they're going to be doing some homework, going to maybe a website, going to social media, asking people maybe in the music department, or asking friends that may be familiar with you, like, hey, have you heard of this organization? What do you think? And this is where you want to make sure that what you are saying aligns with what people are saying about you that may be third parties that aren't directly affiliated with the fraternity. Some people don't, some companies, I've noticed this, especially small businesses, they're unaware of the fact that what people are saying about them online, that in areas that they're not controlling or areas they're not aware of, is dictating buying experiences for a lot of their businesses. The same thing goes with fraternities. If people look at reviews, people look at social media interactions, people hear things through the grapevines and whatnot. So you want to make sure that when people are interested in you and they're learning more about you, the things that they're hearing outside of the fraternity align with what's happened, what you're saying about you. You don't want to create some false expectations. So when people become have that strong feeling towards you, and that expectation is a misexpectation, they're immediately going to leave and pivot and go look somewhere else. So you want to make sure that what you're saying and what that awareness that you're building aligns in this phase as well, because the consideration phase is mainly up to the consumer, the prospect, the lead, however you want to dictate it. It's really up to them to as to how much they consider you and how long they're going to be considering you. So you want to get them interested in you, but more importantly, you want to get them really to desire to be a part of you. Especially when it comes to an organization like Phi Mu Alpha, the biggest trade-off is that time management. So you want them to feel like, oh, hey, even though I'm having to sacrifice a lot of time, I'm desiring to be a part of this organization because of the experiences that I'm gaining, because of the skills that I'm learning, and because of the connections that I'm building at the same time. So the goal of this phase really is to adapt offerings to fit to their goals, to fit to their motivations. And that was a big thing that I learned during my collegiate experience, as well as just in the real world as well. Next slide for me. And phase three of this is the action. This is where people are at, sort of that trade-off does occur. And this is when the consumers engage with you in the manner that you intend. Let's say that we're a retail, let's get a retail experience, for example. Let's say that somebody gathered all the materials that they're looking to purchase and they're going through that transaction. That is the actual action phase of the marketing cycle. Equivalent that to the recruitment cycle. You hand a bid to somebody. They say, hey, I'm on board. And then they show up. That is them signifying the action that's saying, hey, I am on board and I want to become, I don't know, I forget what we call it nowadays, but a probationary member. I want to become a probationary member for the Brotherhood. This is the action of them saying, hey, I am willing to sacrifice my time to gain value to join this Brotherhood. So the expectations must be agreed upon and the promises must be stated. And we clearly do that during the ceremonies and whatnot, but you really want to make sure that it's authentic, natural. You don't want to necessarily feel like they're being forced into it or led into it. And you want to make sure that that trust is fully established, because it's solely up to them to enter this phase. But when people enter this phase, they're ready, they're eager, they're excited. So a lot of times they may mishear a couple of things. They may think one thing and then reality hits them and it's not really what they wanted. You want to make sure that those expectations and promises are stated and fully present before moving on, because once they move into the action phase and then they even have a worse experience, or they have a bad experience, worse experience, anything of that nature, that's even more of a negative attribute that you then have to manage, because, oh, hey, you have somebody that's leaving, they had negative experience, missed expectations. That's a lot to have to manage. So you want to make sure that everything is fully set in stone before you start the process and really get them going. Next phase. Or next slide. The fourth phase is advocacy. So the time frame here is really dependent on the target audience that you're looking for. And during this time, you want them to be wooed by what you're offering. You want to win them over and you want to keep them bought into your messaging. You want to keep them coming in, because over time, especially as the semester goes on, people are going to be more focused on their classes because exams are coming up, final midterms are coming up. Especially during football season. I don't know how it is at other schools, but in the SEC during football season, a lot of people are focused on football. So that time management really becomes a factor in terms of how can we how can we position ourselves to not be as much of a time crunch that people are having to sacrifice their personal lives to do too much and sacrifice what their the goal of going to school for the first place, getting that education. There, if they have to sacrifice too much of that to do the fraternity, then that balance is offset. So you want to make sure that you have them bought in, but you want to make sure that they're not overwhelmed, and you want to make sure that they're not feeling like it's a burden. You want to make you want to naturally make them an advocate, and you want to make sure that you get them talking about their experiences with you. 80% of people, or 80% of like people, sorry. My bad. 80% of the people that stay on are only 20% going to be sharing feedback about you. So when it comes to advocates, you want to make sure that if you spot advocate, if you have somebody who is excited, somebody who is naturally present at every time, you want to have them be somebody who is vocal for you. But you also want to make sure that they're not overwhelming people who are not familiar with you for the first time. And I did notice questions.
I was about to interject. We have a question from Brother Combs who asks, how do we respond to someone who says they don't have any time?
When it comes to somebody who says they don't have any time, just sit down with them, figure out how to properly set the expectation with time. If it's somebody who is, let's say they're a freshman, they're worried about, oh, hey, I don't have time for my classes. Just sit down and be realistic. The expectation for a probationary member, especially at the beginning of the process, in my experience, the expectation was about 1 to 2 hours a week. So not that much of a time commitment at the forefront. And then let them know later on towards the tail end of the probationary process. That's when that little bit of that time commitment is going to be there. But you're going to be making sure that you're transparent and communicative well ahead of time about what time commitment they may have. That's the biggest key, especially for somebody in the actual probationary process. Because if you're not communicative as to how much time, let's say you're having a color night activity and you're expecting it to go a few hours, if you're not communicative to them that, oh, hey, expect to have a few hours of this night taken up, then they're not going to be as excited for whatever activity you're having because they're having to sit there in their mind, waste more time that could have been set aside because they have a big test tomorrow that they didn't know that they had to miss out on that study session for. Or, oh, hey, I was supposed to go to this thing at 10 o'clock that I had agreed upon and didn't realize it. So you want to make sure that you are communicative and transparent about any long-term time commitments well in advance.
I appreciate that. I guess the biggest other problem that I'd want to ask about that in regards to time commitment is when we do get them to commit their time, how do we keep them coming back, if you get my meaning?
During the act, I think I'm picking up on what you're putting down. The answer to that I would say is when you're having those actual moments, those actual events, if they're not exciting or if it's not keeping motivation for them to come back, I've noticed this in my personal experiences as well. When I was president, when I was just a collegiate, so to speak, even in probationary membership, if events weren't exciting, people were less likely to want to come back to the next event. So you want to have some form of excitement there, even if it's just like as simple as just a cookout at somebody's house, having a video game set up for somebody to play, having some sporting activities there, or even just a fire to sit around if that's permissible, so to speak. But just some way to keep it engaging and active and keep people understanding that, hey, this is a time commitment. It may take a long time. It may take a couple hours. It may only, the requirement may only be 30 minutes. But if somebody is there and they are having a good time, they're not going to be keeping up with how much time is being spent because they're being active, they're being engaged. And we always have said time flies when you're having fun. So the more fun that you're having and the more engagement that you're having, during those social events, when you're having the serious business events, business meetings that you're having to do, those weekly or biweekly meetings or however frequent you do meet, that's when you can sort of have that trade-off of, oh, hey, it's only an hour a week that we have to meet officially, do the business, but we have an event coming up later this week that we actually get to have fun at. So that's where you can sort of delineate it. Does that sort of answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And the comments in chat really do help. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions before we move on? Okay. Next slide. So the reason, again, why I want to stress that recruitment is a loop is sort of that direct and indirect loop that I was speaking about earlier. So directly, people have to disclose, by people disclosing an experience, those close to them will be more willing to trust with what is shared about those brand experiences. So especially, let's say you're a sophomore or a freshman, and you know people coming into the institution next year, and you start talking about the fraternity well in advance and saying, oh, hey, it's a great organization to join, or even better yet, you know somebody going to another institution and you're talking about it with them, that's a great way for them to go ahead and get naturally aware of who you are and potentially even consider you well before they go to that institution. And if you offer, so in the entrepreneurial world and sort of in the commerce world, so to speak, pivoting there, if you offer more than one product, service, solution, anything of that nature, and you have to have somebody go through that buying process again, they're more than likely going to be trusting you and go through that process quicker a second time, a third time, a fourth time, so on and so forth, because they're aware of you. They've not only considered you, but that trust is already established before having to go through that process again. So especially, let's say you're in your third year, and your dues are coming up, you're more familiar with the organization. This is a scenario speaking. You're more familiar with your chapter. The chapter is having positive things happen. That experience has been a positive thing for you. You're going to be more likely to pay those dues and more likely to be bought in and stay on board, unless something economical or financial happens, so to speak. But the reason that it's an indirect loop is by delivering those quality experiences, advocates can recommend people to the network within their network. Let's say they're not even affiliated with you, or let's say that you're talking about the organization with a group of parents, and because this has happened to me a couple of times. You're talking about the organization, your experience with a group of parents, and somebody comes over and says, hey, my child's going to the organization. Could you tell me a little bit about it? The reason why it's indirect is I didn't know that person. I didn't know them. I didn't know them whatsoever. But the fact that I was able to disclose this information and share this to them because there was some form of trust established, even indirectly, they were able to take that and share that with somebody within their actual network and say, hey, this is something that I think would be a good experience for you, especially given the fact that you're looking to go into the educational field, regardless if they're looking to teach music or a secondary subject, or if they're just looking to go into the real world. Fun fact, my former manager at the current company I worked for was a brother, and he helped me get to the position I was because of the letters he saw and the experience that I had. So since somebody new is entering, since you're having those people entering it and having people recognize you, whether it be a parent, a friend of the organization, a prospect, anything of that nature, you can tailor how they disclose offerings, since a new consumer has intimate insight with the brand structure, what you offer, and why you exist. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Thanks. So in this second section, we're going to be talking about maintaining relationships with consumers. So the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that recruitment is all about relationship building. You want to serve people and get to know people really well and have them get to know you really well, because people approach brands that understand them, that serve them well, and or meet expectations that they have in their mind. Most understand, you have to understand the consumer and what they and know what they want to gain from signing on with you. And or your idea that you will solve their problem. The reason why you want to get them on board and understand what they are going to be gaining from signing on with you. It's because just because you are gaining something from them doesn't mean they're gaining something from you. It's a relationship. It's a partnership. They are giving a financial cost and sacrificing time to gain experiences and to ultimately gain a network that they can enter after college. So you want to get familiar with them and make genuine bonds with them, because for freshmen especially, that's 4 years of a relationship that you have to manage and maintain over time. So there is a trade-off with these relationships, whether it's just a one-time trade-off or a long-term trade-off. So determining how to leverage that their opportunity cost, the things that they're sacrificing, so that there is not a lost opportunity over time that they're feeling from having to give up something, and even though you're gaining something. Next slide, please. So again, just really want to stress that they do need you, but they don't need you at that same time. People do not just enter partnership, friendship, relationship just for fun. During my work experience, I did some consumer psychology research and discovered that a lot of people enter relationships not because they wanted to just enter a relationship, but because they saw something of value that that friend could deliver, that partner could deliver. A lot of people enter relationships because they feel challenged by their partner and they feel like they're growing because of their partner. So those bonds are forming over time because of this common interest, shared experiences that people are having. So brands fill spaces that can solve the problems for consumers by defining how they can elevate without impeding any growth opportunities for consumers. Same thing with friendships, same things with relationships. Most of the time, if people feel like they're not gaining something, if they're not being uplifted or anything of that nature, they're going to want to find a way to recoup that lost time. But fun fact, that time can't be recouped because time is the only resource we can't recoup. You can recoup money. You can recoup materials. But the abstract things like time, you can't recoup that. So by entering those relationships, you want to make sure that it's authentic. You want to make sure that the time that is being sacrificed and said, hey, this is the time that you're going to have to give this organization in order to join. We all had to go through it. We were all probably wary of it, but that trust was established, that partnership was there, and that relationship was starting to form and said, hey, this is for us. So the four approaches to maintaining relationships and sustaining relationships are recognizing them, allowing them to feel seen and heard, including them and making sure they're involved in events going on, showing them and pointing them where they need to go. And the fourth one, in my mind, the most pivotal one, surprising them, keeping them excited, keeping them wanting more, because the more that they're wanting from you, the more that you can deliver. But at that same time, the more creative you can get with giving surprises. And sometimes simplicity is the best way to surprise people.
We have a question coming in from the chat from Brother Combs. What is the best way to help prospective members want to keep investing their time?
So when it comes to prospective members want to keep investing their time, ultimately at the end of the day, these prospective members are students. So if you can find a way to integrate yourself into their everyday life and be a mentor for them, do study sessions for them. If some of the PMs are in the same classes, have study groups, encourage things of that nature. And another thing is as well is if you are, let's say you have a freshman or let's say you have a transfer student who isn't new or familiar with the city that you're in or the town that you're in, you could do something off campus too. And even if it's something unofficial saying, hey, do you want to go hang out or go grab like a burger or something? There's an arcade that's nearby that's really cool. Do you want to go do that? A lot of the, during my senior year, a lot of people would just naturally hang out and want to just have those natural friendships form through the experiences that they had. Also, they were similar majors. Also, they were in similar classes too. So by the best way to do it is just start becoming just natural with them. At the end of the day, they're humans. They're just students just like you. So just be students together. Don't sort of be wary of the fact that they're still prospective members. Yeah, they're still prospective members, but they're also students. They're also humans. So just be natural with it.
And another question from Brother Wasson. Could you shed some light on how to build relationships outside of our regular circles? We have a chapter heavily involved in marching band, and we're looking to get more people from jazz, orchestra, a cappella, etc.
Yeah, great question. So my recommendation is encourage faculty to help out and be advocates for you. If you have faculty that are alumni, or just faculty that you're really close with that you've helped out with, have them sort of give a shout out to you, give a recommendation to you, because obviously those are, they have similar experiences, they are in those music classes. And if anything, if you have classes with them as well, let's say you're in a theory class, let's say you somehow land in a math class together, even if you have those, just approach them, sort of be friendly with them. But don't immediately start with, hey, I think it would be great for this organization. Sort of just treat it like a friendship and things of that nature. And then over time, get them to be familiarized with you. Maybe wear your letters every now and then. Maybe have let them know of an event that's going on. Like, for example, who doesn't love a cookout in college and free food? So let them know that there's sort of like a barbecue happening after the game this Saturday, or let them know that there's a hangout session happening after a concert or something of that nature. That way, just to let them know that it's just a social thing that they can do if they have the free time to do it.
Something from Brother Hernandez from the chat as well. I've had brothers ask faculty if they can make an announcement at the start of the semester about rush events, or that they'll have an info session for interested brothers.
Yes, that's a great thing I would recommend. And again, also just have flyers posted and let them know. I would recommend having wearing letters during recruitment weeks, especially. Another thing that might help out subtly is just having your letters in like a social media bio. That might help out too. I know a lot of people do that just to help give that subtle billboard, so to speak, when people come across your digital profiles. So that might help out too. And then again, as Brother Hernandez said, ask faculty to make announcements for you. And if anything, some teachers sometimes have announcements written on their whiteboards, so sometimes do that too. Next slide. So again, when you are having these relationships with them, you want to think like them, because this is for them after all. So like I mentioned earlier, recruitment is the same thing as just marketing and advertising. You're letting them know, hey, this is something that you can get bought in on. So when it comes to recruitment and thinking like a consumer and thinking like a prospect, you want to sort of shift your mind from just thinking about promoting yourself, the product, so to speak, how the price, and sort of that current moment. You want to shift yourself to sort of be an evangelist, sort of, again, the advocate for the fraternity when you're having these conversations, especially during recruitment events. You want to make sure that people are having that experience and having memorable experiences with you, and not just sort of being proud of the fact that they have letters. You want them to feel proud of the fact that they have letters and the fact that they're wanting to just talk about it naturally. You don't want people to be afraid to say the fact that they're in a fraternity. Some people in IFC fraternities I know are still very shy and fearful of the fact that they were in an IFC fraternity because they didn't have great experiences. So by having those great experiences, being an evangelist about it, and understanding the fact that it's not the price that's sort of our bread and butter, but the exchange that people are having during the not only the probationary process, but the actual collegiate process as well, is it's not that much of an exchange over time. Looking back at it, I didn't sacrifice that much time. But in the moment, I thought the exchange to me was very important, because working 40 hours a week as a college student, having to support myself in school. And then not only that, being in marching band and being in a fraternity, that's a lot of exchanges I'm having to make. So exchange during the collegiate experience is pivotal for them, because they're having, it's sort of something that you don't want them to feel like it's a burden during that exchange. And then letting them know that this is, again, an every place type thing. We are everywhere, whether it be somebody that's just an alumni or chapters at other institutions. We are everywhere. So letting them know again that we are a network and that we can be at every place at all times is a good thing for us, especially given the fact that we're in the digital age. So some negative assumptions that you want to just stray away from is that they understand you and understand your policies and products, what you offer initially. They don't understand it initially. So you want to help guide them in, lead them in. Think like you're talking to a first grader, a second grader in terms of a vocabulary and jargon that you're using. The second one that you want to stray away from is the fact that you know everything that you need to know. You're always going to need to be learning. You're always going to need to be on top of everything. And we'll get into why here in a minute. When it comes to the target audience especially, we are entering sort of this world where knowing, feeling like you know everything can really bite you in the butt, whether it be really quick or over time. So that's something you really want to stray away from. The last thing that you really want to stray away from is assuming that they love you, they need you, and that they won't leave you. They can leave you. Like I mentioned earlier, they don't need you. And they don't, if they don't like you, they're also not going to want to stay with you. So you want to make sure that you are aware of how people are feeling about you. We'll talk about it here in a minute, but have a feedback loop, establish communication with people, especially whether it be anonymous or just in meetings over time. You want to make sure that you're aware of how people are feeling about you in the current moment, because again, you don't want to have 8 or 9 people, even just one person, not feel like they like being there, feel like they don't need you anymore. So you want to make sure you're not assuming how people are feeling about you. Next slide. So like I mentioned, there are 4 facets to a partnership that you just need to be aware of. You just need to get to know them, like I mentioned, their goals, motivations, strengths, weaknesses, really what drives them and what they're looking to gain. You want to be trustworthy. You want to be flexible when it comes to how people are interacting with you. You don't want to be very rigid. A lot of people don't like rigidity nowadays. You want to make sure that you can sort of be a little bit flexible, but not too flexible to the point where you're sort of bending yourself over and without realizing it. And you want to also plan for scenarios well in advance, especially when it comes to events. Some people or some organizations don't plan for alternatives. Let's say you're doing an outdoor event and you're not planning for potential bad weather or anything of that nature. You want to make sure that you have that scenario in place just in case something happens, or even if the event has to get suddenly canceled or something has to get suddenly canceled, you want to make sure you have that alternative path so you don't have to sort of be flustered and do a lot of things on the fly, because doing things on the fly in the moment does take practice. And a lot of people may agree that doing improv is not as easy as a lot of people think it is. So the last big thing that you want to sort of be is sort of, you want to be proactive in a partnership. Someone has to be the activator. Somebody has to get things going. A big, looking back in my collegiate experience, a lot of people would just say, oh, hey, let's do this event. Let's do this recruitment event. Let's do a cookout. But nobody would plan, nobody would organize, and that idea would fall through. So if some in a partnership, if you're or in a relationship, anything of that nature, if the other party isn't being proactive and you're not being proactive, then what are we doing? So you want to make sure that somebody is being active and somebody is being proactive and on top of things. Next slide. So when it comes to internal relationships, like I mentioned, recruitment doesn't stop when somebody gets initiated. Dues are a really good way to check for somebody if somebody is still on board and bought in to the fraternity. So like I mentioned, instill that feedback loop with fellow brothers, utilize anonymous surveys and one-on-one feedback to really utilize a direction for chapters. And my biggest recommendation, avoid focus groups, because in my experience with focus groups, if whoever speaks up first typically is sort of like the captain of the ship without realizing. So you really want to have those either anonymous surveys or one-on-one feedbacks, just to have that intimate conversations with fellow brothers and figuring out, hey, how people are feeling. What are some ways that we can improve? Do you have some ideas that you've wanted to vocalize that you maybe felt uncomfortable vocalizing in group settings? Those two things are really key and really useful for maintaining and managing those internal relationships with actives. And then really consider networking events with alumni associations, other chapters, provinces, to create those deeper bonds for members, really showcasing that networking side. And again, what can be a post-collegiate experience, because sometimes collegiate brothers will look around. I remember hearing this when I was a collegiate experience. It's like, what's going to happen post-collegiate experience? What's the end game here? Are we just going to go through the alumni crossing experience and just move on with their day? No. So really utilize the fact that we are a network at the end of the day, and consider reaching out to alumni associations, other chapters, to really just instill deeper bonds with people and just allow people to meet other people from other chapters. And again, create more relationships within your chapter and provinces as well. Next slide. So I wanted to briefly just talk about the pros and cons to Greek life and how the organization or how the Brotherhood can and maybe should adapt or benefit to these. These are pulled from theschooloflife.org. So basically, when it comes to the pros of Greek life, some pros, of course, are networking, philanthropy, social identity, skills development, and of course, fun. And as you can see, the fraternity really does benefit from a lot of these. So of course, the networking side is really keen on the major and industry that you're in. Of course, for us, we are very musically based, education based, but like I mentioned, not everybody is a music major or an education major. Making triple M's integral for communities is a really good thing for our philanthropy. I remember during my collegiate experiences, the newspaper would sometimes report on our triple M's. We would have, most of our triple M's were at retirement homes anyways, but they would showcase that on social medias as well, which is a good networking opportunity for you and a good PR opportunity as well. The biggest thing, in my personal opinion, is the social identity and skills development that people gain from joining Greek life. Because when it comes to the leadership opportunities or when it comes to those intimate experiences that people are having, they really get to learn and sit down and reflect on themselves, and not many people get to have that opportunity. So those to me are the two big things. And of course, if you're having fun in an organization, that's always a pro. But some cons that we sort of manage well, but there is one thing that I do want to talk about. Is the price. When it comes to price, the low cost of the fraternity is the biggest thing that we have to offer. But for most Greek organizations, that's actually a big deterrent, especially given the nature of the economy in today's age. For hazing, of course, we have systems set, so we have something that's offset that offsets that. Same thing with drug and alcohol abuse. But the last thing is that time commitment. That's really the biggest con that I would be on top of and really keep in mind. A little term that we use in the marketing world is, or in the project world, is flip time. So if you are looking to do events, or let's say, especially during color weeks, you want to make sure that something is not back to back, especially like day after, so to speak. Because if there isn't that time to just relax and unwind, then people, again, will feel stressed, feel burdened to want to go to things, and then feel like they're behind in their personal lives. So you really want to utilize committees in sort of planning things ahead of time. And again, set those realistic expectations. You don't want to sort of bite off more you can chew and put too much on a person's plate without realizing. Next slide. So the next slide, or the next section I wanted to briefly talk about is how we can adapt today. And you can go to the first slide. So the first thing, again, is just plan, plan, plan. Have a roadmap for your semester and your activities in advance. If you don't have at least some plan in advance and you're just sort of picking up the pieces as you go, then you're not going to be able to have that exceptional experience that you're wanting to have because you didn't have that time to plan for it and gather your resources ahead of time. So again, have that roadmap for your schedule, but ensure that there's some form of adaptability just in case something comes up. You can reschedule it to either next day or move the event to later in the semester. You want to communicate with initiatives to people when appropriate. You don't want to communicate anything if nothing's changed. That's not only a big pet peeve for a lot of people, but it's a big time waster. Is oh, hey, there's nothing new to report on this. Okay, when will there be something new to report on this? If there's nothing new to report, report on when something new will be reported on. So there's at least some sense of, oh, hey, somebody's on top of this. And of course, like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to reiterate it again, time is the most sensitive resource spent. So you want to make sure that that time that you are going to be spending on planning events, planning sort of activities, planning your semester as a whole, you want to make sure that that time is outlined properly. And then again, communicate in person and in digital channels when planning. Look to project management tools that you can utilize. Maybe utilize spreadsheets even. Really utilize something that the chapter can collaborate with it together. You can use Google Drive as well. But when it comes to communication, a lot of chapters have been moving to Discord. So I recommend Discord, but for those that maybe are wanting to use Slack instead, I did list that there, but have something that you can communicate with that's very robust and something that you can tailor and adapt to. I don't recommend GroupMe just because GroupMe has a lot of management that the user has to do. Whereas with Discord, if you have somebody that's technical, if you have somebody that is knowledgeable about Discord, you could just have one person manage it. And it's really not that much of a management after that once you get the initial Discord set up. Next slide. Another way that we can adapt is utilizing storytelling. So when it comes to, like I mentioned earlier, recruitment is really just marketing and advertising. And you just have to know how psychology works in order to get somebody on board with you. So it's really important that the word choice that you're using is thought of before you're holding recruitment events. And you're sort of on the same page as a chapter with how to describe the chapter and sort of the tonality and the personality of the chapter. It helps sets up position in terms of benefits in their mind. And it could enable shifts if they're familiar with you prior to that in current engagement. So let's say they hear about you from a band director, a friend, a parent that came across you, what have you. You want to make sure that what the story that you're telling about you and who you are, you want to make sure that it's framed in a way that it could benefit them to not only highlight basic functions, but maybe can get them to consider why joining you and what can get them to stay on board, so to speak. And looking back at it as well, thinking about your recruitment and your time when you were being pitched about the fraternity, what was the message that initially got you on board? One message, looking back, that got me on board was the fact that we're a social fraternity. And during my college experience before joining the fraternity, I was looking for sort of a group of people to hang out with. I was a transfer student to Mississippi State, transferred from out of state too, so I didn't really know anybody. However, transferring to Mississippi State, I got a scholarship to join the Wind Ensemble. So I was really looking for just a social organization to get to know people and really just look for a group of people to hang out with. So when I came across Lambda Phi, the Lamda Phi chapter of Phi Mu Alpha, I was told by the current president at the time that, and he told me, quote, "We're a social fraternity rooted through music." which really piqued my interest because the fact that, oh, hey, it's a social organization rooted through music, which was a passion of mine. And not only that, they were really small too. So it was a really intimate setting that I was getting to join as well. So that's something that was the message that really got me bought in. So think about the message that got you bought in and what was the reason that got you to join the fraternity. And then when it comes to retaining information, people retain information through storytelling as well, because they're able to build connections to the words that you're utilizing in that association that you're creating. And next slide. And again, that experience building is vital when it comes to consumers nowadays as well. Gut feelings about organizations are created through those experiences. And the stats right here say it best. 86% of people will pay for better experiences, but 89% of people will leave due to a bad experience. So if you have just one bad experience, if people just have one bad experience, they're going to leave. So you want to make sure that if somebody does have a bad experience, that they're that you're on top of it, and they're able to sort of mitigate any association that they may have with that. If somebody does have a bad experience, that is a useful time for you to sort of be upfront and be proactive and practice that proactiveness with them. Look for touch points to help shape for, experiences for people. Look to social media, look to advertising, look to person to person. And then the biggest thing, like I mentioned earlier, you want to plan 3 to 6 months in advance, because if you are sort of planning as you go, then it's not going to work. People aren't going to be aware of what you're doing. You're going to miss out on time to sort of spread the word of mouth, spread the message about the event that's coming up, spread the word of mouth about the opportunities to join, especially because there is that cutoff date to join the fraternity. So if you're not communicative about when those cutoffs are not communicative in time in advance, then people can miss out on opportunities. And that could really be a big deterrent for that following semester if you want to recruit those people that missed out that previous semester. Next slide. So like I was sort of hinting at earlier, but the main target audience for the fraternity nowadays is Gen Z. Gen Z has the shortest attention span, and the average attention span for Gen Z is only 7 seconds. So if they're not bought in immediately and you're not sort of creating that excitement initially, then they're just going to sort of focus on something else that's creating that excitement for you. The main trends for Gen Z, they're community driven, they're connected. Everything digital can also be physical as well. Think QR codes, think app clips nowadays if you're an Apple fanatic. The budget shifts, they're a lot more frugal nowadays. They look to value when spending money. They don't want to just spend money willy-nilly nowadays because a lot of Gen Z came about at the beginning of the recession as well. So they're very much about what value am I going to be getting by spending this money? And of course, they're raw. They're authentic about their feelings. And they're going to be very candid about how they feel and what they think. So look to that as well. And if somebody is being candid, 9 times out of 10, that candidness means that they care. So if somebody is being raw about their emotions, pull them aside and sit down with them and figure out what's going on. But not only that, it's a great time for you to sort of build a connection with them as well. For actives, just instill comfortability and trust through long-term relationships before pitching membership to prospects. You want to ensure that authenticity is showcased consistently. You want to make sure that it's you're sort of, again, not biting off more than you can chew in terms of the expectations. But not only that, you don't want to set too high of an expectation to where it's not something that you can manage over time as well, especially because when it comes to expectations, Gen Z nowadays can really see through any quote unquote false expectations that people are setting about brands. Next slide. Another way that we can adapt today is some physical methods. Utilize word of mouth, reach out to student life departments to utilize their channels, reach out to them to figure out how you could promote yourself on campus. Maybe consider having some tables set up. Maybe consider, again, utilizing the flyers, having student life talk about you. The digital media channels, like I mentioned, if you reach out to Student Life, a lot of times they'll have boards with announcements of events coming up listed on the school websites for students. Typically at the top, or typically in a giant box for most organizations. So reach out to them to see if you can get listed there. If you have a way to, if you have access or get a prospect's email, utilize email. Email is the best way to get connected with people, because it's not, if somebody gets an email 9 times out of 10, they'll see the headline. And then if it's something important, or if you have urgent, important, or anything of that nature, they're going to want to click it. They're going to want to read that email. So utilize email for recruits. And then not only that, utilize social media as well. Like I mentioned earlier, the target audience is Gen Z. Most of them are digitally inclined and on social media nowadays. So post in your stories about events coming up. If you have flyers that you're printing out physically, utilize those flyers digitally as well. Next slide. So the bonus topic I want to quickly talk about is branding. And when it comes to branding, in my opinion, branding is the key to recruitment. And here's why. When it comes to branding, a lot of people will discuss different facets of what a brand is. There's different ways that you can label it. Even one definition right here is from the Association of National Advertisers, which was a really long, rigorous course I had to take. It was a 35-hour course for advertising. So when it comes to perspectives to branding, a lot of people will consider it the name, the term, the logo, the symbol that you're utilizing, expectations that people are having. But really, if you go to the next slide for me, Brother Friday, branding is just a never-ending story that comes with a set of promises and expectations. It encompasses logos, colors, slogans, values, personalities, products, people, anything and everything that has to do with you and your brand. Even the shirt that Brother Friday is wearing, for example, that is an aspect of branding. It shows that the fraternity is inclusive. It shows that the fraternity is welcoming. It shows that the fraternity allows people to have pride in their identity. So consumers will build that story based on what they digest from you, not what you're giving to them. So you really want to think like them when it comes to the engagements that you're having. And of course, when it comes to branding, it can be physical or digital, but the goal is to really be omnichannel with your story that you're presenting and the presence that you're having. Next slide. So the importance of branding, like I mentioned earlier, is it's how you create that unique space in the mind of a consumer. It helps allow them to shape how they think of you and when they come across you. So sort of think of it like a game of Tetris. You're never going to build the same Tetris board twice. So when it comes to coming across a brand, the more times people come across it, and each time they come across you, it could be different. So you want to make sure that what you are presenting, even if it's a different shape or a different end image, it's still the same building blocks that you're presenting over time. It just may be built differently at the end of the day. It allows you to enable humanity to be instilled when people engage with you. So really channel the personality of who you want to be and sort of the personality that they want to have in their lives when they're engaging with you. If there's somebody who is very introverted, you don't want to be very extroverted. You don't want to be, again, overwhelming with them. But if they're very upbeat and bubbly, match that personality as well. And again, the last thing when it comes to the importance, it allows you to build authentic connections and have those authentic connections be brought about from experiences. People associate the values that brands offer to them in their daily lives. A lot of people are very brand conscious nowadays. They're not going to be purchasing from products if the product has negative associations, has values that don't align with their personal values as well. So you want to make sure that the values that you are presenting align with their values as well. And if there is that disalignment, you want to figure out how you can tailor it without devaluing or changing the identity of who you are. Next slide. So some branding statements, some things to consider. The mission statements, first types of statement I want to bring up is mission statements. It's where you are today. It's sort of why you exist and why you came to be, your mission for the organization. The vision statement is sort of the direction that you're going and where you want to end up being, and sort of that journey that you want to have people come up, go along with you. But the biggest reason, the biggest statement, in my opinion, are those purpose statements. It's the fusion of vision and mission statements. It's sort of why you exist. Not every brand has a purpose, however we do. And here, purpose is a verb. It defines two things. It defines what you're good at, and it defines what the world needs. So next slide. I sort of did some examples here and drew some examples here of what vision, mission, and I created a purpose statement here as well. But the mission, when it comes to mission statements, the one right here, this mission statement really just showcases affordability. It showcases that the brand is social conscious. However, it showcases the product that they're specifically delivering, which is eyewear. And if you're not familiar, this is Warby Parker, Warby Parker's mission statement, the eyeglass brand that everybody's probably familiar with. When it comes to vision statements, this vision statement right here, it's showcasing the direction that that they're wanting to take the brand. It's showcasing what they hope to aspire to be someday in the future. This is the vision statement from Disney. And as you can see right here, they're really wanting to, their vision at the end of the day and one day is to be that the leading producer and provider of entertainment and information. In my opinion, I think they're nearing that point, but who knows? And then this purpose statement, I created this purpose statement based on the fraternity. It's very short, sweet, and simple. When it comes to purpose statements, they're really, you can really outline them the same. Typically it's we, verb right here, it's we exist so manly musicians can come together and sing as one. In my opinion, the reason why I chose that to be our purpose statement is because manly musicians can encompass many things. It can encompass people who are musically inclined, but it encompass people who just are vocal, thoughtful, insightful, know how to speak the truth in every word that they are sharing. Because fun fact, words are just sounds that we are saying through percussive sounds with our mouths. It's weird to say that, but it's true. So when it comes to coming together to sing as one, we may have differences of opinions. We may have different perspectives on things, but we're really coming together to show that you can be different and still come together to be unified based on one common goal and based on one common mission or one common vision that you may be having. So that's why that purpose statement is the infusion of the mission and the vision, because it's sort of taking two halves of why you exist and bringing them together. Next slide. And then some final thoughts. Next slide. So recruitment, this was the original theme that was gonna go for, but recruitment is a snowball. It's 24/7. It's something that you have to keep at and keep going because it's never going to stop. Sort of think about somebody knitting a quilt. You're always going to be knitting that quilt when it comes to recruitment. You're never going to run out of fabric, so to speak. So create digital communities to keep people engaged and keep the group active with chatter and ideas. That's why I encourage creating discords, creating group messages, things of that nature, just to keep people active, engaged, and wanting to sort of be one, so to speak. It takes time for momentum to form. It's not a light switch. It's not something that you can sort of turn on and immediately work for you. It does take time to form, but don't be afraid to pivot when needed. And that's why I sort of equate it to a snowball. You're pushing the snowball, but you're not going in a linear pathway. Sometimes you're going to curve a little bit to the left. Sometimes you're going to curve a little bit to the right, but you're still pushing it forward. It's just not in a linear fashion. And then achieving that top of mind awareness is like somebody hitting... It's like hitting someone with your snowball. So let's say you have that snowball formed and you're ready to just throw it at your target audience. Once you throw it, that snow is going to sort of dissipate, but that snow is still there. So you're going to pick it back up, roll it up and roll it up, roll it up until you hit your next target audience or until you hit somebody next that's within your target audience, so to speak. Next slide. Another thing, that I want to just quickly talk about is to funnel your recruitment. So the funnel operates in multiple directions when it comes to marketing, recruitment, recruiting, things of that nature. again, natural exits do occur. People won't go through the entire funnel, but you want to guide them through the funnel and you don't want to force them to go through it. Like I mentioned, let me backtrack here real quick. So on the right here, I did create a sort of like a funnel, and you can see how it's sort of operating in multiple directions. When it comes to marketing, recruiting, and advertising, down here, you have your target audience, or you have, quote unquote, your buyers, the target audience that you're going for. And you're sort of formulating who you want here. You have your qualified leads and the leads, the prospects that you're going for. The response is built through the consideration, and the impressions are the awareness that I was bringing up earlier. The leads and the response combined to be consideration, but the leads and the qualified leads can be your bread and butter. And that's the opportunity where you want to look at the most. If you have somebody that is a lead, you want to make sure that you're on top of them and managing that relationship, but you don't want to stray away from people who are impressed and responding to you as well. So when it comes to marketing, recruiting, of course, you're going to be having to invest some form of financial cost. You're not everything is free, so to speak. So when it comes to investments and that return on investment that you're looking for, new membership, of course, the return on marketing investment and return on investment, both of those are synonymous with each other. And the best way to look at it is in this case, if you're recruiting in 10 members, or if your goal is to hit 10 members and you're wanting to spend less than what that financial increase would be, so to speak, then that's what you're going to, that's the ROI or ROMI target that you're wanting to hit. A lot of chapters don't realize that that you do have to spend when it comes to marketing and recruitment. And sometimes they'll overspend without realizing. So you want to make sure that you're on top of the costs and that you're investing. But when it comes to marketing, that investment that you will be investing will pay off at some point. It just won't happen immediately. Next slide. And again, our one last big thing I wanted to briefly touch base on are chapters are unique. Chapters function as franchises for the organization. However, they have the coveted factor of being distinct by nature because they have different local vibes. Each city is different. Each institution is different. But also, we are still functioning as sort of like a franchise for a business, so to speak. So there is that continuity in terms of what the fraternity presents nationwide and what we present at the local chapter. But what chapters can do is they can sort of differentiate their image a little bit and tweak their image to tailor it to the institution, just to, again, showcase that integration with the community and the university. So the reason why it's important to integrate that is you want to consider off-campus events to get prospects comfortable with the city, comfortable with the institution, because if they're not comfortable being in the city at the institution in the first place, then more than likely they're not going to be comfortable staying with the chapter because they're going to just be thinking about, oh, hey, how can I leave? I don't want to be here anymore. I don't feel happy anymore. So you want to get them comfortable with the city, showcase the city as well. Find great hangout spots to go to. Showcase and also showcases those reasons to believe in the fraternity, the social aspects, the networking aspects, the comfortability and trust aspects that we provide. And remember, again, we are networks, so utilize those channels to collaborate and strategize ideas. Reach out to alumni networks, reach out to other chapters. If there's sporting events going on, reach out to those institutions to see if brothers are coming into town. Those are going to be great ways for you to sort of just create those unique experiences for you and fellow chapters. Or fellow brothers, I should say. Next slide. And that's it. I know that was long, but I do appreciate y'all's time.
At this point, I think we could probably open it up to a little bit of Q&A. If there are questions, comments that brothers want to have answered or contribute, now would be a great time to do so. Well, seeing none at this point, I would love everybody to join me in thanking Brother Ponder one more time for taking the time tonight to present to us on marketing and recruitment. I know that we have a Herculean effort in front of us in terms of what recruitment is going to look like, especially for the next academic year. I know that a lot of brothers, a lot of chapters really are down in size due to the pandemic that just hit us. So I'm hoping that the 22-23 academic year is going to be one of the biggest booms for recruitment that we have seen in the history of Sinfonia. In the meantime, Brother Angel, if you would kindly stop recording.
Recording has...